Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Mr. Mikhail's Manor of Mischief, Magic, and Mystery, the podcast where we talk about music, the occult, and just day-to-day life. I am your host, Andrew Mikhail, and welcome to the 6M Podcast. And we're back. Thank you for tuning in to episode 33 of the podcast. I hope you've enjoyed all of the episodes before it thus far, and I hope that you enjoy today's podcast, because 33 is a special number for me. It's my 33 degrees of podcastery. If you understand what I'm saying, you understand what I'm saying. If you don't, that's okay too. Just know, 33, big number. And I'm not only talking about Scottie Pippen's jersey number, the epic 33, or Angelic Signal, if the lizard was listening. 33, that's my number, apparently. So it's a big day today, big day, and I got a lot I want to get off my chest in this short amount of time that we have together today. But first of all, we got to introduce our sponsors, and that's, we don't have any sponsors right now because we are a DIY operation. And with the way things are going these days, these unprecedented times in the new normal, which I reject. I refuse to believe that this is the new normal, you know, not talking about, sorry, I'm clicking, not talking about the podcasting, you know, even though it's been starting to get some flack out there in the air and in the ether. No, I'm just talking about all of the things that are not politically happening, which, oddly enough, it just seems like a lot of people are missing, I guess you could call it that. They're not really seeing the other headlines that are happening. Perfect example. Today I saw on social medias, the Facebooks, all that, that something happened with Carol Baskin at Dancing with the Stars or whatever. And at the same time as that article was making its rounds, apparently Israel and the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain all drew some sort of peace agreement that, if you're a Middle Easterner, you would understand that is huge news, like world news. But for those who aren't Middle Eastern, probably missed it, probably really didn't care about it, because, you know, Carol Baskin, right? So, I don't know, I've been seeing a lot of weirdness in the on the internet, but the main thing that has been catching my eye as of late, and being that we're not touring or we're not gigging or doing anything aside from sitting in our homes at the moment, I'm really just subjected to like the small real life interactions that I've been having. Granted, I could talk about, you know, old tour stories or gossip amongst the scene, which I think Twitter and all the other platforms have already enough of, including podcasts. You know, I do speak my mind a lot on this podcast, and I could speak my mind a lot more, but I'm in the business of not making friends, but I'm trying to maintain relationships and spread a little bit more positivity in this overall negative world. And oddly enough, it seems like the negativity is running extremely rampant. And, you know, you have your influencers, you have your, you know, your band guys, you have actors, actresses, writers, everything. And it just seems like, at least, you know, on my end, seems like everybody is peddling some sort of, what's it called? Misdirected negativity. You know, everybody's hurting right now. I mean, that's not a mystery. Everybody is hurting right now, but it's misdirected, you know, their inner pain, their self-loathing, their self-pain, they're misdirecting it and just shooting it at everybody else. And when you do that, not only, you know, is it monkey see, monkey do, in terms of, you know, you have, especially now more than ever, you have a lot of people popping up and, you know, a lot of these guys are doing great things for, you know, the DIY community, great things for underdeveloped bands and artists and whatnot, and they're putting out great content. Perfect example, you know, my buddy Matt Bacon, he's a great social media guy. He's been putting out constant content. And, you know, helping a lot of bands, same thing with Finn McKenty, Joey Sturgis, like a lot of people that I've gotten to know, at least in my small circles. You know, you do have your more mainstream guys and gals, but they are helping and they have, you know, the credentials to say, hey, you know, I did this or I work with this industry. This is how you, you know, impress so-and-so. And then now you have like all these people that they're scrambling for a buck. They, you know, and that's the same thing with like spiritual people. Like you have your false prophets, so to speak, right? You have your gurus that, you know, buy my ebook and, you know, I'll give you the keys to salvation. Same thing, like you get a lot of these newer cats, these up-and-comers that are like, all right, this podcast says that I have to start this podcast or, you know, vlog or website, blog, whatever the fuck, and sell my expertise because that's what everybody's doing, selling my expertise, right? So that's what I say. It's like monkey see, monkey do. So you have these influencers influencing people in a good way, but you also have them influencing people in a bad way. You have a lot of people spinning negativity, spitting venom at each other and at their friends and loved ones, to the point where it's come to my attention that as of late, I think this week or something like that, September, let's say 16th, that's when this podcast drops. So this week I have noticed something different in the ever-changing hellscape that is the music business and just life, in 2020 as an artist, as a underdeveloped artist, as a DIY artist, as it, you know, can I suck my dick anymore? I don't know. But I've noticed something added to the mix. Apparently, Netflix, yes, the same Netflix that put out great content like Cuties, which apparently is another talking point. If you don't know what I'm talking about, apparently Netflix made some sort of movie or documentary, I don't know. All I saw was the poster, and I was sick to my stomach at how they're portraying these small girls, these young women, hypersexualizing them and making a movie about them twerking or whatever. Even if it is empowering, I don't think it's appropriate to have basically free child porn for people that are afraid to go on the dark web or something like that. So I think it's bullshit, but I also think it was for a purpose. I think there's a lot of things happening right now. There's a lot of bad people being taken out of the equation, and we could have a whole fucking series about, you know, some of the things I've learned, and we won't do that. But I will say, oh, I'm getting a weird hum. I will say, see, they're coming for me now. I will say that maybe not everything is as blatant as you think it is, if that makes sense. I swear to God, I swear to G-O-D, I just threw my phone. I've been getting nonstop texts from, let's just say, political parties begging me, you know, can we count on you? No, I never shown interest in the first place, so stop fucking texting and calling me and emailing me, you motherfuckers. Because they heard I was talking about cuties. They're like, hey, we heard you like cuties. No. But we think in the manner, we think that this is an obvious move. I don't think Netflix is inherently bad to the point that they're so aloof that they think that releasing something like that won't piss people off and won't wake people up, so to speak. Not in the sense that, you know, everyone's saying, get woke now. No, not at all. In fact, I think that whole get woke thing has become bastardized to the point that being spiritually enlightened or spiritually or physically aware of the world around you is now ridiculed to be in the same vein as the whole get woke people. You notice how I keep saying get woke, because usually when you read it online, it's in all caps. But along with cuties and some of the other things Netflix has been releasing that have been oddly parallel to the real world, like for some people, I mean, the lizard and I, we were watching, you know, the new season of Umbrella Academy, and we were like, okay, what's up, parallel world? You know, like a lot of the things that they were portraying at that time was like oddly relevant. And it's one of the biggest shows on Netflix, I guess, right now, maybe, I don't know. And that alone had us starting to think, you know, they are a coldly calculated company, so there are no mishaps, I guess. There's no, whoops, we didn't know that this would piss people off, having a movie about children twerking. No. So, recently, they put out some documentary, and I haven't seen it. I should see it since I'm talking about it, but here we go. I mean, they put out a documentary called The Social Dilemma. Ooh. It's just like, in my eyes, it's literally the same premise as most of the other documentaries that they've put out recently and in the past, I don't know, however many years, where it's painting social media to be the bad guy that it actually is. Oh, shocker. And this couldn't have come out at a worse time for a couple of reasons. You know, you have a lot of people shutting down, closing everybody else off that's around them. You know, the whole, you listen to what I have to say or go fuck yourself aspect of what's happening right now. And again, you know, I don't want my podcast to be all me bitching about social media or the music business or whatever. I'm just calling it like it is, okay? So if you have anything to say, make sure to drop a fucking comment or head to the Facebook group and talk some shit, and I'll shine some light in your dark, dark heart. But So it is a weird time because a lot of people are shutting off and getting upset to the point that they are annoyed, including myself. You know, they want to Facebook, and I know I'm just harping on Facebook, but it is the biggest, you know, social media network. And unfortunately, they also own Instagram and a couple other apps that a lot of people are using. And as a musician, as a podcaster, as a freelance, you know, business person, I have submitted to the point I bent the knee, and I'm like, all right, Facebook, let's play the game. And it took me many years to learn, you know, the algorithms. Don't do this. Don't say that. Don't do this. Don't post that because it's going to, you know, suppress your posts and whatever. And if for those of you that are listening and you're like, what are you talking about? Read up on it. Like, the reason why all you're seeing is what you're seeing is because either sometimes they like to bombard you with opposite viewpoints. So people who are opposite to you to increase engagement, to get you talking, aka arguing with each other. Or they feed you nothing but, you know, the same echo chamber bullshit that you spout off. And, you know, if everybody's saying the same thing, no one's going to talk to each other. So they're like, oh, well, we're losing money. Bands, brands, and companies are paying us good money for ad dollars. Memes and meme marketing and all out just being nasty now is like a cool marketing ploy. So it's like, all right, we gotta make the customers happy because we know that they're going to be pissed off when we switch it up, because apparently they're going to be forcing their new, you know, their new design on us. And I've been fighting it ever since. Every day they're popping up with election tidbits at the top of my feed, which if I were you, if I was just not, well, I mean, you might be an artist or you might be a business owner or whatever. But if I were just like, you know, just a 9-to-5er, you know, whatever, nothing really to do on Facebook or Instagram aside from like posting pictures of my kids, I honestly would have been off of that shit a long time ago, especially when they start, you know, every day reminding me, election. Hey, are you registered for the election? Hey, did you know you could go here and then see that? Like, dude, fuck off. The first time I said fuck off, then stay fucked off. And, you know, now I'm starting to get, here's some facts about climate change. And it's dangerous in many ways because, you know, in a lot of people's eyes, they are the authority. You know, you trust Facebook, you trust these, you know, websites, you trust that they've vetted these, you know, news outlets, their news sources, their facts. But you have to start wondering, really, do we really need to trust them? Because, like I said earlier today, you know, we're talking peace in the Middle East right now. And yet, breaking news, Carol Baskin from Tiger King danced with Dancing on the Stars, and now her, it's like, really? Fucking really? At least try to trick some of us. I mean, that might work for a lot of people. And if you're listening to this podcast, then you're probably along with me in the sense that you're not as easily taken as they think you are. So knowing me, the algorithm knows me. Ooh. It knows that I'm not happy on Facebook. It hears me. The other day, I went to Meijer with my sister, And I picked up a can of liquor, and I'm gonna start changing the subject soon. But I picked up a can of liquor that I've never held before, and I think I read the ingredients on it, and I asked her, I'm like, "You ever had this? Should I buy it? Whatever." Next thing you know, my little sister the next day or 2 days later sends me a screenshot of the advertisement for that liquor company that I've never heard of until that day at Meijer. And I could tell you damn sure that my little sister didn't search anywhere on Google for that. So, you know, it's shit like that turns me off. And, you know, every day I'm like, I wish I could just delete everything. Just get off of it all. Because, you know, I can't because of the band stuff, right? Got to promote the podcast. That's why I'm telling everybody, like, subscribe to the podcast. Because we don't know how long we're even going to have these tools. You know, Facebook or Twitter, YouTube, whatever. So it's like, do me the favor. Like, I'm not like begging for, you know, subscribers or like, I'm literally just trying to safeguard my work. That's it. Same thing with YouTube. Like, a lot of people, they could see, you know, Serpents is doing YouTube vlogs. I'm doing the podcast on YouTube. I'm going to be doing more type of vlogs on YouTube. And granted, that's again putting my eggs in another basket. That's again taking a toll on creative time. That's again making me learn new algorithms, new, you know, search engine optimization tricks and all that shit. And only for, you know, maybe in a couple months or 5 years or 10 years, it all to go away again. So I'm like, Jesus Christ. But, you know, I do that. You know, I have all these other platforms because I don't trust that any of them are going to be around in the future, you know? So I tell people, subscribe, make sure you follow the band on Spotify, subscribe to our YouTube channel, subscribe to the podcast, because if you're not subscribed or if you're not following, then if there's no social media, you're not going to know, right? You're not going to know. You're not going to know if we drop a new song. You're not going to know if we're going to drop a new video, because what are you going to do? You're going to look for, you know, your news sites. Well, we don't know what's going to happen to these news sites if they lose all of their advertising income or whatever. You know what I mean? So it's like a constant, like, what is going on? What's going on? What's going on? And a lot of that time, I could be writing. I could be creating. I could be doing something good with my time. And being an underground artist, that's what we have to do, right? And that's what all of these influencers are telling us now. You know, you got to do this. You got to do content. You got to do this. I actually scaled back. I don't know if you guys have noticed, you know, if you're following me on my socials, I scaled back completely. You know, I was posting from my personals and from the band accounts 7 days a week. If you guys noticed that, 7 days a week, multiple stories a day, multiple tweets a day. I make sure to converse with you all. Whoever's conversing with me, great. You're guaranteed to, you know, get a response from me. And that's even when I was doing, you know, bigger things in music. You know, if I was notified, yes, I will definitely converse with you. If you're spouting negativity, or if you're talking shit, so to speak, I'll still talk to you. But at a certain point, if you're so close-minded that I can't talk to you and have a genuine conversation, which is what's happening right now to a lot of people, then I'll cut you off. I'm not going to talk to you. You know, I consider myself more than a musician. What those things are, I can't tell you because I don't know yet. But I do know that what I do is bigger than music. And unfortunately, I have to use the tools given to me. Now, back to Social Dilemma. Ever since that documentary came out on my feed, you know, thanks to Corona, thanks to everything that's happening, we're not playing shows, everything's shut down, everybody's locked down in other countries. It's pretty bad for musicians right now. A lot of labels, they don't want to sign new artists because they don't know, you know, are we going to get that money back? Is there going to be touring? Is it going to be, you know, it's all a big question mark right now. And a lot of artists are giving up. A lot of people are signing off for good, at least, you know, quote unquote, for good. I'm deleting everything, right? Everybody's heard that. I'm deleting my Facebook, say something by the end of the night. You know, even I've done that, I think, once. I've deleted everything once, and then I paid for it dearly. I took a month off of the internet, whatever. And it took me 2 years to gain back some sort of favor with the algorithm. Let me say that again for all of you listening. It took me 2 years of my life in dedicating how do I serve the algorithm? What did I do wrong? I took time off. What the fuck? 2 years of my life went down the drain. Things that happened, nobody even knew about, which is fine. But again, a part of my life is the music. A part of my life is spreading my knowledge. A part of my life is spreading enlightenment of some way. Right? I have different vehicles, but the mission is the same. And a lot of people miss those messages. A lot of people miss those songs. To this day, I'm still getting messages from people where they're like, oh shit, you guys had a new album? Yeah, we dropped it in April of 2019. Oh, I gotta hear it. Okay, go hear it. What's going on? How you doing? So, what's happening now is a bunch of people are deleting their accounts because of this documentary. Documentary says, you know, there's two different companies, or sorry, there's two different industries that call their customers users, the drug industry and software. And that's like the thing everybody's like harping on, right? And back to Netflix, I don't think that was by chance. This is all happening for a reason, but it's put artists and bands and whatever in a horrible position, worse than we already were, right? And this is something that, you know, I've talked to, you know, my partner in crime, the Lizard, with in the manor. You know, we've discussed over and over again because she sees me basically bashing my head against the wall every day because I want to write. I want to create music. I want to play for you guys. I want to fucking see you. I want to shake your hand. I want to hug you. I just want to talk to you. I want to be with you all. And so what do? Every day, 7 days a week, 8 hours a day, minimum. I work on all things Serpents, podcasts, YouTube, whatever. And then also make time for myself to grow spiritually, to take in what's happening every week, you know. You can't do this because the algorithms changed this week, so you got to do this now. Okay, let me read more about it. Oh, you want I got a class. If you're like, okay, all right, can I get some real information from somebody? And it's just round and around in circles. So a lot of people are tapping out. And a lot of bands and artists are starting to tap out because they're like, what the, like, we don't see this we don't see this getting better. You know, if everybody's saying, oh, 2021 tours are going to be awesome. Yeah. Because the tours that were scheduled in 2020 are going to happen in 2021. So all of the people that were, you know, booking the rest of 2020, like ourselves, we're fucked in the sense that, you know, every club's going to be backlogged a whole year. And I said this in March, and you guys can attest to it. You guys can attest to it because I have documented and recorded my thoughts and my predictions. I said this in the beginning. I said, this is not going to be a 15 days to slow the spread. This is going to be like a long thing. And the music industry, it's going to come real close, really close. So the lizard, she sees me banging my head against the wall, you know, trying to stay afloat, not even succeed. I'm past the point, guys. I'm past the point of like trying to succeed. I'm just trying to stay afloat so that my message keeps going. Like I said, it's more than music for me. And if you only enjoy my music and not the message, that's fine. That's cool. Hey, I get it. But it's more than that for me. And I'm just constantly just trying to stay alive. And a lot of this that has been happening to me and to you and to all of us, but to me specifically, it's been happening to me, unfortunately. But as an occultist, I take personal responsibility for everything that's happened to me, because that's not our way. That's not what we've been taught. That's not what spiritually enlightened people are taught, to sit there and go, why is everything happening to me? Everybody says, well, a lot of the, you know, spiritual people say, no, you have to say, why is this happening for me? Right? You have to spin it and not make yourself a victim, as we talked about in a previous podcast. But at some point, you become overwhelmed. You're at a breaking point. You're like, okay, already. Jesus Christ. How many hits can I take, you know? And the whole Netflix thing, documentary, you're starting to see a lot of people jump ship, as they would. And it's come at a really bad time. And the lizard, you know, thankfully I have, you know, a partner in crime that balances me out in many ways. Like, many ways you guys don't know. But if we want to talk spiritual, she balances me out. You know, I have the masculine energies, she has the feminine energies. Together we make the Rebis, the Rebis, whatever you want to call it. It's a holy union, a conuncio. A union of opposites. We're like fire and ice. And as of lately, I've been on fire really big. I've been a star. I'm on fire as of lately, like the sun. Where while I was writing the previous albums, I was like a little torch. And then when I'm not writing and I'm just coasting, I'm like a little match. But right now, my being is on fire. And I have a lot to say. I have a lot of good things to say to people. Especially, like I said in the beginning of this podcast, I see a lot of people hurting. I see a lot of people taking out on themselves and then taking out on others. And like I was saying with social media, it's an echo chamber at some points. So if you're miserable, they'll show you misery. Oh, here's something to be more miserable about, right? And if you're even in a good mood, they'll be like, oh, let's see. How do we engage conversation? Oh, yeah. Show them something miserable. Make them miserable. It's a misery machine. And honestly, personally, from me to you, I've written about this stuff for the past 10 years. You didn't need a Netflix documentary, okay? If you're listening to this podcast, and if you listen to Serpents, U.S., have to add the U.S., then you've been warned 10 years ago about everything that's happening right now. Literally everything that's happening right now, especially to the hive mind, the human hive mind. I've written about this. Now, can I explain it to you? I do. That's what the YouTube vlogs are lately. Have you noticed that? If you've listened this far into the podcast, thank you, number one. Number two, have you noticed I've been breaking down what my songs mean? Now, here's a exclusive for you guys that are listening. This is why you guys are subscribed, right? You want exclusives. In those track-by-track vlogs, I know they're long. They're like 5 to 7 minutes each song. They're not even explaining in depth what the lyrics mean, what the song is supposed to mean, what the album means as a whole. They're just telling you just the simple breakdown. Simple. And I throw in, you know, I throw in little tidbits too. It's like a trail of breadcrumbs. I'm telling you in the videos that what's happening now, I was writing about 2013, 2014. And to my dismay, all it took was a Netflix documentary, as it normally does now. You know, you could tell somebody the world is on fire, which at the current juncture of recording this, the whole entire West Coast is pretty much on fire. And it's like, no one will listen until there's a Netflix documentary about it. And in that case, it's usually too late, right? Damage is already done. Well, guess what? The fact that we're getting this information now, even though if you've listened to my music, you've gotten the information long ago. But the fact that the mass populace is getting this now really means that the damage is done and it's really too late. So, to my dismay, again, I'm seeing everybody jump ship as if that's going to change anything, as if that's going to protect their privacy, as if that's going to, you know, stop it. They already got what they wanted, right? They got your data. They got everything. They have the way you think, the way you answer questions. And honestly, a lot of people that have been asking me, you know, why don't you do Twitch? That's what everybody else is doing, you know? And more power to them. Hey, if you're making a living off of live streaming, you know, what you do at home, do it. However, it's scary to think, it is terrifying to think that I have not seen one person question why Twitch exists. And I'm not saying like, why is it a thing? Why is it popular? I'm saying, why is that being peddled to us now at the time where everybody's, you know, getting pretty much herded away like cattle away from Facebook, Twitter, Instagram? Oh, there's too many right-wing nut jobs. There's too many left-wing liberals. There's too many. So we're going to go here. We're going to go to Twitch. We're going to go TikTok, which is fucking worse. Oh my God. As soon as I got off TikTok, life has gotten so much better for me. And I have had clarity to think for myself and not have some fucking nobody. And I say that, some fucking nobody telling me how I should think. Sitting in their fucking whatever. And I'm not shitting on people who don't have a platform or haven't done what I've done or anything. I'm not drawing a comparison. I'm saying that just like what I said earlier, you have the people that don't have the credentials and they're spouting to you expertise, professionalism, whatever, just to make a buck. So you have the same type of people on TikTok spouting off essentially watered down, recycled propaganda for all ideas. Everybody has a voice on TikTok, so everybody has a lane, and they just feed it to you, feed it to you, feed it to you, feed it to you. Then they throw you a curveball, and you're like, I got a comment, fuck you, you know? Negative, 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 negative. And it really had me thinking, like, okay, so TikTok has the data, too. So even if everybody moves away from so-and-so, then they have the video, the propaganda, the data, the mind washing with TikTok. And Twitch is something, again, I respect all of those making a living on Twitch, but you have to wonder, and this could be crazy, but a lot of people said I was crazy back then when I was saying all of these things about Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And I wrote songs about it, amongst other things. Don't think that all of Serpent's material is about social media either. The podcast, the whatever. I'm merely speaking about the hive mind here, the general populace. And unfortunately, since we're not talking to each other in person, since we're not playing to each other in person for the past however many years, we've moved to the digital world. So hence, I'm talking about the digital world, okay? I live a real life. I go outside. I go to the store. I exercise. I live a real life. I have real conversations with people in real life that I don't document and that I don't live stream and I don't, you know, post about. I don't, you know, see someone in the street, say, hey, I haven't seen you in a long time. Take a picture and then bail. Oh, I got to post this. You know, I saw that happen at a Morbid Angel concert. Like, side note, I literally was at the Metro in Chicago watching Morbid Angel. It was like a big return tour or something like that. It was like Morbid Angel, Suffocation, like a bunch of other bands. And I literally watched someone walk into the room. They walked into the floor, take a picture and leave. And I saw him like going straight to Instagram. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? And again, this is the stuff I warned people about years ago. And again, I'm not an expert. Okay. I'm not claiming to have all the answers. I'm just observing. And I've said that numerous times on the podcast. I'm just an observer, man. I'm just an observer. But again, with Twitch, it just makes me think that being able to see people play video games in real time and documenting it, because a lot of these streams get downloaded somewhere on a server or they get uploaded to YouTube or whatever. What makes people think that that's not another tool being used to calculate people's movements, people's choices, people's conflict resolution? It's insane that I have not seen anybody talk about that at all. And I've been looking. Yeah, it's cool to stream and put on a show. Like, hey, like I actually souped up my home studio. I souped up my home studio for streaming the podcast and maybe some, I have some things in the works, something nobody's doing, and I think I'm the best person to do it. So I have something in the works, but it's not what you think. And, yeah, it just makes me think that, like, what makes people think that it's not a platform strictly based to test people's cognitive abilities, test people's decision-making skills, you know, survival skills. Like, you know, if you're in a death match on fucking, like, Halo or whatever, that's how old I am, apparently. I'm like, Halo, Call of Duty. And it's like, you know, it's you're broadcasting your every move. So in a gunfight, if you were ever in one, let's say someone studied you, they know your movements. That is, if, you know, if you are who you are online, I guess, I don't know. But when you're playing a video game, you're playing to win. You're not trying to die in front of the whole world. You're not trying to show everybody how awesome you are at losing. So it makes me think, like, they're loosening the reins and all these other things, and the herd is migrating here and here, the final frontier. So we got your thoughts, and all we need now is your actions, and we got to keep feeding you messages. So here's a couple videos of girls pretending to be cartoon characters and guys. And then we're going to throw in a couple propaganda pieces for you. Throw in a fart here and there. And keep scrolling and we'll keep giving it to you. It's weird. And I think Netflix is starting to, you know, start to roll out some sort of campaign where they're showing everybody what's happening, what's wrong, and why it needs to be fixed. Or they're testing people to see if we're awake enough, woke, to be upset about it. I'm not saying Netflix is the good guy. I'm saying that something is obviously happening over there. And thankfully, we are cognizant enough to be like, okay, pedophilia is not cool, guys. And they're like, oh, okay. Not yet. Keep rolling with the, let's give them, you know, a couple more seasons of The Office. We'll renew Friends, and then we'll try it again next year. It's crazy. And, you know, it really had me thinking, what are we going to do? What are artists going to do? What are artists going to do when all of this essentially goes away, tears away, melts away? You know, and I was telling the Lizard, you know, when Ocean Zero got notoriety, let's say, we got a record deal. MySpace was the thing. You know, they heard about us on MySpace because MySpace essentially, at least to my knowledge, was some sort of open platform. You post, people will see it. If it's good, it's good. If it's not, people will still see it. They'll tell you it's not. You could try. You're an artist? Cool. Be an artist. People will see you. That's how it was, at least for me. And, you know, I had some duds. I had some duds in my career. Not saying I don't have one right now, but I did. And I learned, okay, people aren't ready for this one, so I got to shelf that and then do this. Let's try it another way. Same guy, same motive, but different approach. And I did that, and I did that. And Ocean Zero was one that caught. And then, you know, took off. And when I left, Facebook was starting to be the thing for all bands. And when I left, going on my own on that platform was a recipe for bad disaster, because I thought personally that it would be equal playing ground, an open playing field, whatever you want to call it. And it wasn't. It wasn't. And it still isn't. And it hasn't been for all these years. But thankfully, you know, if you're listening, then I've reached you, and I appreciate you for being reached. But it's taken me 10 years to reach you. So I would love for you to stick around, you know? But it had us thinking, you know, what are we going to do if this goes away? Are we, and I told the lizard, I said, our alternatives right now, as it seems, to reach, you know, music listeners that are, they want a social experience. They want to talk to us. They want to be, you know, friendly with us. It's Twitch, YouTube, and even YouTube is Google, whatever. Or TikTok. And then I proceeded to tell the lizard, there are many platforms out there for music, Spotify being one of them. And Spotify, as I think is one of our only hopes at the very moment. And that's not saying much, guys. That's not saying much. But there is a social aspect to Spotify. But the problem is I think Spotify is starting to have an opinion that they are projecting onto us as well, as most people in power tend to do. So I think they're shaping the narrative, the dissonance, the negativity that we see now as well. But, you know, I told the lizard, you know, there's sites like Vibrate, SoundCloud, Reverb Nation, I think. I don't know if they're still around. That are all doing stuff strictly for music and music lovers, but nobody's using them. And I told the lizard, that's because people want to talk. People want to argue. They want to interact. And being able to just have music isn't enough. And I told her, you know, I'm like hopeless right now because I don't know what the future holds. I've spent all of these years trying to stay afloat, stay alive, reach you, hence the podcast. I'm trying to reach you on here. And, you know, you have your people shitting on podcasts now too. But, you know, I know who I am and I know my purpose, and I don't let anybody tell me what I'm doing is wrong. People said that when Ocean Zero, and I keep saying Ocean Zero because that's what people used to call us back then. People were telling us back then that we were going to be nothing because we were fat. People were telling us we were going to be nothing because we weren't good looking enough to be on people's walls. Verbatim. Quote it. Not going to say who it was from, but let's just say it's from a prominent record label. A representative from a prominent record label told me to my face, you're a great writer, great performer. However, your songs and your music should be played by someone else. No one wants to see you. Can you imagine being, I think, 18 or 19 at the time, having a fire in your heart, the fire in your loins, and your fucking unstoppable spirit, and having someone from higher up tell you that you're never going to be anything because nobody wants to see you because you're ugly, essentially. So what did I do? I decided to market it, bring in the beef. That was a big fuck you to those people. We marketed it, and we made a home for all of the quote-unquote undesirables of the world, apparently. And then the rest was history. That's history. But we're talking about this right now. But it makes you think, no? About these people in higher positions, about these influencers spreading negativity, these prominent voices spreading negativity, these businessmen, businesswomen, companies, conglomerates, etc., spreading negativity, and they don't even need to spread it. You know why? Because they reward negativity. I've been running tests. Listen, guys. Personally, I've been running tests on my own. I'll test the system, and I'll spread positive messages, joyous messages, whatever you want to call them, light, nothing, which is fine. My following wasn't built on light. My following was built shrouded in negativity. Because what were we marketed as back then and 10 years ago? Something I never liked, by the way, the label slapped it on. The world's most pissed off band. I literally, when I saw that that was on our record, I was just like, what? Like, have you, and I'm not saying that they're the world's most pissed off band, but I was like, yo, have you ever seen Harm's Way? Like, seriously? Like, we are not the world's most pissed off band. They're like, oh, your sound is the world. I'm like, okay, whatever, dude. Oh, we already made the stickers. It's like, okay, I guess. My career in the beginning was shrouded in negativity. Same thing. I was offered a position in another group. Same thing. Negative. I joined another group with a positive message. However, all of the doors were closed for them because they started saying, wait a second, we deserve more than what we're getting. Literally, they were like, hey, and keep in mind, I wasn't in the band at that point. All I was told was the stories. So I could be wrong. I don't know. But from what I was told, it was, they wanted what was their right. And what happened? All the doors closed for them. And I joined in with that band, fought with them in the trenches, then was offered another opportunity, while at the same time always doing Serpents, because I saw the world for what it was. It was all inspiring for me. I was still getting the perspective I've always wanted to maintain. Part of my being is travel, conquering, getting to know people all over the world, getting to know what they think, how they think. And I'm not talking about gaming either. I'm talking about having real face-to-face conversations, sometimes bad conversations, but we talk. No, we know that we have differences, and that ends there. Shake hands, have a drink, fucking see you next time. But that last band, again, like the tagline for the band, and I've got nothing but respect for the guys, Same thing with all of the other bands I've been in. I have really nothing but respect. I appreciate them for taking me along in their journey and teaching me a lot of things that I didn't know, spiritually, mentally, physically. And I don't look back on those times negatively. I just know that I needed to go through these experiences to go to be where I am today. And you all should do the same. You know, if you have a job that didn't serve you back then, don't let it define you now. Learn from it. If you're miserable now, that means you haven't learned from it. Change it. And if you go to another miserable job, you have to learn from that. Same thing with relationships. You don't keep going to toxic people unless you didn't learn your lesson. So, trying to learn my lesson and seeing that the system is built to reward negativity, negative people, negative habits. You know, I was thinking, like, we really don't have a chance in the world right now. We don't. Like, musicians, whatever, people in general, whoever. Musicians, especially because I was talking about the fact that we don't have an alternative to run to aside from, you know, Spotify, which, like I said, people want to engage. People want to talk. The best Spotify can do is it could show you what we're listening to right now and listen to a playlist that I made for you. So, with all this realization happening, like in the past week, Kanye West has openly made it known that he's had enough with the industry, he's had enough with labels. He has kind of went on a rant, as he usually does. And if you've noticed, you know, he's taking a real big liking to religion, at least in our eyes. In our eyes, we see it as religion, but I think it's something else, personally. It's a mindset. It's not religion. It's not what you think is religion or God or Jesus. And it might be. I don't know. Maybe. But, you know, when he gets out of line, you know, he kind of gets dragged through the dirt. All of the people that are supposed to be on his side basically leave him for dead until it's time to release another song or record. Then all of a sudden it's, oh, Yeezy's back. So, in that, sorry, I know, I'm reading his tweet. So he says, I need to see everybody's contracts at so-and-so and so-and-so. One of these labels he mentions I had a contract with as a subsidiary label, as a songwriter as well. So immediately I was triggered, okay? Because I'm like, should I show him my contract? I got royally fucked out of any sort of, for a year, I got fucked signing my life away in service of others, not myself. And again, I learned from that. That's why Serpents is my only right now. I'm tired of serving others when I have much work to be done here. So he says, I need to see everybody's contracts at so-and-so and so-and-so. I'm not going to watch my people be enslaved. I'm putting my life on the line for my people. The music industry and the NBA are modern day slave ships. I'm the new Moses. So a lot of that was from the heart, and I could tell because I've been there. I've wrote songs about it. And I don't know much about the NBA or the players, but I do know that they... they are subjected to, I mean, their whole lives are molded by the NBA, essentially. Look at Kobe Bryant. There's a lot of theories about that. But, so he said that. Then he said, no one from so-and-so and so-and-so has responded, so it's go time. Then he starts showing pictures of NBA players smiling when you Google them, even though it looks like they're sad and smiling through the pain. I mean, the caption says, when you Google us, we got to smile for the camera. I get that. I get it. I've had to do that for many years. Like I was saying with the algorithms, had to smile. Okay, fight through the pain. Keep on a good face. Don't want to get fucking snuffed out. So then he posted this, and it really caught my attention to the point that I needed to make this podcast. He said, hey everyone, we're making progress. I'll keep everyone updated on how this meeting with Vivendi goes. If Nikola Tesla had a Twitter, the world would run off AC. Edison killed Tesla's image to control the power. Literally, Tesla and I only mean well for the world. I hear you. I'm right there with you, dude. And it kind of sucks because the lizard's like, you got to jump in on this too. And I'm like, well, really only seems like he's favoring his fellow rappers, which are powerful people. And I think he's just trying to get powerful people on his side so that they could help all of us, smaller fish. I get it, but... if Kanye, if you're listening, I'm a metalhead and I'm Middle Eastern. If you want a poster child for any sort of oppression, I'm right there with you, dude. But Vivendi, he says, call with so-and-so when great. This is a perfect first conversation. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. Then he says, when I spoke to so-and-so, who was on the board of Vivendi, we decided to create a Y Combinator for the music industry so artists have the power and transparency to be in control of our future. No more shady contracts, no more lifelong deals. Heard that, got fucked from it, onward, as Theo Von would say. The Y Combinator started companies like Dropbox and Airbnb. For the first time, it cleaned up contracts and made venture capital transparent. It empowered startups with the tools to succeed and grow their businesses. It changed the Silicon Valley game. Contracts in all industries need to be simplified now. Complicated contracts are how businesses, music companies, and sports take advantage of talent. We will expose these contracts and make them transparent now. Support new talent, startups, and amend all old contracts. I fucking love it. I fucking love it because as we're starting to see the paint wearing off the old ship, we're starting to notice that there's holes in the ship, right? There's holes. We're going to sink. And unfortunately, with Corona, with the social dilemma, all these things, it's only showing how vulnerable and how quickly we are sinking as artists, right? And I'm sure if you're listening and if you're in another industry, you would probably know that your industry is in its target as well, right? But I was thinking, I was like, what a coincidence. Here I am literally banging my head on the wall, panicking, going, I have all this new material. You know, I have all these messages I need to get out. I have all these ideas. And no one's going to be able to hear it. And the industry at this current juncture rewards negativity, and that's not what Serpents is all about. And I could tell you right now that Serpents has definitely taken a hit for the past 10 years for that fact. That's why when we first came out, I first said, this is a movement, the movement. And people kept calling it the bowel movement. Yeah, I mean, it was funny. Cute. I get it. But it seems to me that 10 years ago, the movement started and the people naysaying it. I don't really see where they're at right now, but I bet you they should have jumped on with us. That's for sure. Because we're still here and we're more powerful than ever before. Like I said earlier, I'm like a star. I'm a bright sun in terms of fire. I'm on fire right now. And I know if you're listening and you're probably thinking like, okay, dude, get over yourself, right? I'm not talking about literally. I'm not calling myself a star. I'm saying I am like activated, you know, musically and philosophy-wise. That's why I was, you know, banging my head against the wall, because I'm like, fuck, man. I've got all this beautiful music, beautiful, ugly, heavy music. It's heavy, soft, whatever the fuck you want, tribal. I've got all this music, and I'm like, damn. As soon as I finish it, I bet you all of these things are going to come crumbling down. And I was hopeless until I saw these rants by Kanye, right? And who would have known I would have said that, you know, 2020. But I think what he's onto is something that is going to change the game. Change the game for the better, I hope. Change the game in the sense that when I write an album, here's an old story for you. Changes the game in the sense that when I write an album or demos or songs and I think that they're from the heart, and when the label, especially one that slaps the world's most pissed off band on your product, when they say it's not what we're looking for, do it over again. You know what that does? That transmutates the essence, my essence, the artist's essence, into what they want so they can sell it. It could care less about the art. And not all labels are like this. Please, please, please don't take these words wrongly. And I know how easy that is for anyone who's looking to start a problem. But the proof is in the pudding. The negativity is not going to stand very much longer. And honestly, the people that are holding on to this negativity and getting rewarded for it right now, they're going to be in a they're going to have a very rude awakening when all of this comes to fruition. And I could be wrong, but I haven't been wrong yet. So hopefully maybe in 5 years, people can refer back to this podcast and go, oh, there's a new Netflix about this. There's a new Netflix documentary about, you know, Kanye and going with Vivendi. You know what I mean? This is what I'm talking about. So if you're listening to this far, you've already started the journey with me. I appreciate you listening this far. So, to close this out and to stop rambling, I thought something was weird about that name, Vivendi. In that, I realized it's a conglomerate from Europe. Beautiful Europe. And they own one of the labels that I was signed to. So it seems to me that Kanye has started to raise some questions, raise some eyebrows, and now they are willing to work with him to change what's happening. Maybe they're trying to do good. I don't know. Maybe the label's trying to take advantage of him. I don't know. Maybe Vivendi's trying to take advantage of him. I don't know. But when he gets all of these power players involved, it's going to be different. Credible people. I mean, I could tell you right now, Kanye, hey, if you're listening, I'm already in. So if these power players say no, you got one guy, at least from the underground, willing to say, I've been fucked for 10 years and I used it to my advantage. I got stronger. My art became more powerful because, again, reminder, it didn't happen to me. It happened for me. I wouldn't be where I am right now, spiritually, artistically, and powerfully, if it wasn't for what's been happening to me for 10 years. Say meditation. But yeah, I thought it was weird about that name, Vivendi. And I remember, well, the lizard helped me. I was like, Vivendi, why have I heard that before? It's a phrase, it's a term. And it had me, or had the lizard, stumble on a, what's it called? Wikipedia entry, right? Because being an alchemist or whatever, Latin is big, right? So I stumbled onto something called modus vivendi. It's a Latin phrase that means mode of living or way of life. It is often used to mean an arrangement or agreement that allows conflicting parties to coexist in peace. In science, it is used to describe lifestyles. In diplomacy, a modus vivendi is an instrument for establishing an international accord of a temporary or provisional nature, intended to be replaced by a more substantial and thorough agreement, such as a treaty. Armistices and instruments of surrender are intended to achieve a modus vivendi. Weird, huh? I think that's pretty weird. I think what's happening is that he is actually trying to lead the fight in improving the lives of artists, which in turn improves the lives of not artists. It gives people fighting chance to be who they are and to be accepted for who they are or ignored. But at least they could be who they are. And especially if you're like me, you're tired of all these influencers, you're tired of getting sold classes, if you're tired of, you know, having to learn every day a different hack, then you, the end of the day, you're like, I didn't write anything. Or at the end of the day, you're like, I've been scrolling all day. I don't know, I forgot, where did the day go? Huh, never mind. Time to play video games on stream on Twitch. I don't know. I think something big is on the horizon. I think that I came to my breaking point the other night, where literally minutes later, shortly after Kanye West launches a full assault pretty much on the industry. Not to take the industry down, because music industry is an industry I grew up in. I love it. But there are a lot of bad players in it. And a lot of people profit and bank off of those who are trying to do this for the good of music. Not so much the industry. But you have to remember, if you're in the game, you have to remember it is an industry. Even as a listener, when you see something that's kind of out of character from a band or an artist or whatever, most of the time, they're working the industry aspect of it. So, I don't know. I think I'm done rambling today. I think I've touched on a lot of valid points that I hope have touched your heart or your brain in some sort of way. And if you disagree with everything I've said, at least I have spoken my piece on this subject, a subject that means a lot to me. And I genuinely, with open arms, hope to work with the few select good players in the industry to create something good for the world. And there are parties that do this. So please, again, don't misunderstand my words. Don't misdrew or misuse or whatever. Don't distort what I'm saying to be something negative. And if you do, in fact, distort what I'm saying to be an attack on either your label or your institution or your company or your dreams or whatever, then you need to rewind this podcast and hear me again. You guys like expertise, right? That's what they want. That's what everybody's telling me, you know, be an expert. Everybody's an expert at something. Okay, so this is my expertise. I'm an observer. I'm a musician, an artist, and together I've observed a lot, and I've been on both ends of the spectrum, my friends, both ends of the spectrum, and I'm not done yet. And if anybody wants to, make the decision for me that I'm done, it's not going to happen. No. So, I think good is coming, and I hope that everyone is still with us at that point, and I hope that you understand me, and I hope that I've brought some sort of truth or light to you that you haven't thought of or heard before, and that would make me know that I've done my job. So, with that being said, help me out. This is a DIY operation, just like the band, just like the YouTube. So, help me out, okay? If you've enjoyed this podcast, feel free to listen to some of the other episodes. But most importantly, subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm still learning, still getting a feel for the podcast. You know, we've been dabbling with video, we've been dabbling with streaming, we've been dabbling. I'm still getting a feel for it, but you give me a microphone, I'll give you a podcast. This is the way I prefer to do it, but I know people want guests. I know people, you know, people enjoy the Lizard and the Wizard segments, etc., etc. So a lot of people don't get this podcast because they're like, what is this? Mr. McHale's Manner of Mischief, Magic, and Mystery. That's because this is my home. I've allowed you into my home. Not allowed, but I've opened the door. And whatever goes, goes. Whether we're talking about mischief, magic, or mystery. Whatever this episode was, that's for you to determine which this was. But like I said, subscribe to the podcast. That's like signing our my home's digital guestbook. Who visited today? Subscribe to the podcast. If you've enjoyed this podcast, and I know some of the other ones are a little bit goofy, but especially if you've enjoyed this one, share it, please. I think there's a lot of gems in here that definitely deserve to be heard by a lot of people. So another thing, if you want to get involved, you want to talk some shit, if you want to tell me I'm completely delusional, if you want to tell me I am on the right path, if you want to tell me anything, you want to request a guest, you want to do anything, join our Facebook group while it still stands. Facebook.com/groups/the6M podcast. That's THESIXM podcast. And being that this show has no sponsors right now, the only thing I'm asking you to do is head to our YouTube. Being that I am the singer and guitarist of Serpents US. Yes, that's me. Being that that is my passion project, it would mean the world to me if you could head to our YouTube and our Spotify and follow and subscribe both. Listen to our music, sure. Watch our videos, sure, obviously, yes. But most importantly, if you can help us out simply going to Spotify, going searching Serpents US, following us, throwing us on your favorite playlists, your workout playlists, your walking playlists, your whatever, sex playlists, whatever you got. Throw us on one of those. It really does help. And I try to return the favor by promoting your podcast, your playlist as well. So it's not always just gimme, gimme, gimme. Okay? I'm trying to help too. Now, in terms of YouTube, head to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/users/WeAreSerpents, and make sure to subscribe and be sure to watch some videos. There's a lot of really good gems in there. So thank you for listening this far. If you did listen this far, you really don't understand how much that means to me. And I wish you well, and I hope that you've enjoyed this. Okay? See you next week for another edition of The Lizard and the Wizard, Part 13. Bye-bye.